Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, where you are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries on this Sunday morning. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. I have a special message for you today. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 15, in verse 22, we find these words. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. I think the book of Exodus probably should have concluded with the verses ending at verse 21 of chapter 15 in the book of Exodus. God had delivered his people from the hand of bondage and of death, and he had walked them through the Red Sea on dry land. He closed the sea on Pharaoh's armies. And they stood on the shores watching their enemies drown in heavy armor. And Miriam and the other women danced and celebrated their great victory to God. They said, "The horse and the rider God has thrown into the sea." God had freed them from the oppression and the cruelty of Pharaoh. And now they were ready to enter into the promised land. The very name Exodus means going out. And the children of Israel had gone out of Egypt, and they were now free. But it turns out that God's people were not really free. Sometimes it's easier to walk out of something physically than it is to walk out of something mentally or spiritually. Sometimes God can take the people out of Egypt, but it's much harder for God to take Egypt out of the people. It only takes a few minutes to walk away from bondage, but sometimes it takes years to clear your head and your heart of bondage and of abuse and of slavery. It's easy to walk away from something many times, but sometimes it's harder to get your life back together away from the abuse, away from the struggles of that bondage. God's people had lived in captivity and bondage for a long time, 400 years. They had had difficult lives. And when you spend years in a bad environment or a bad relationship, you begin to question whether you even deserve to be free or not. Question whether you can handle the responsibility of freedom. Remember when God freed Mephibosheth and God sent David to gather him to his table? The Bible said that the servant of David had to fetch Mephibosheth. That means he had to force him to come out of Lodabar, where he had lived all of his life. Sometimes we get so accustomed to conditions of abuse, conditions of destitute, conditions of hardships, conditions of depression and oppression, that when God finally frees us, we have no idea what freedom is supposed to feel like. And that's what happened to God's people. The Bible said that God could have easily have led his people directly into the promised land. God's people could have walked into the promised land in perhaps 2 or 3 months, but they were not ready to walk into the promised land. They walked for 3 days in the wilderness, the Bible said, and they ran out of water. 3 days after celebrating the greatest victory in 400 years, we find them complaining and murmuring against God and his leader. 3 days separated the biggest God-given victory they had ever had from their complaining and murmuring. Sometimes only a few months separates defeat and victory. Remember, David defeated Goliath And 3 months later or months later, he was running and hiding like an outlaw in a cave. Remember, Joseph stood up to his brothers and his mother and his father, and he said that you guys will bow down to me and I will be the head of this family one day. And just a few months later, he was being sold into slavery by the very brothers that he bragged that he would be the head of. It was only a few days that separated Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem from his death on the cross. Some of our biggest disappointments will come right after some of your greatest achievements. Moses told them that they are going to travel in the wilderness for 3 days to worship and to celebrate God. And now, 3 days later, they are dying of thirst in the wilderness. You know that in the wilderness, water is your lifeblood. Without water, you will quickly die. They were out there 3 days, and they could not go much further, especially of the heat and the cold in the desert. And then the Bible said, off in a distance, they saw an oasis. They saw water shimmering in the sand. The scene was like a mad dash across the desert floor by 1 million plus thirsty men, women, and children. Have you ever dropped everything to run after something like the children of Israel did? They dropped their clothes, they dropped their utensils, they dropped everything on the desert floor, and they ran for their lives to get a taste of water that they had been without for many days, only to find out that when they got there, it wasn't what they expected. Something you thought would be the answer to all of your prayers and all of your dreams and would save you from ruin and devastation, when you finally get it, you find out that what you were after or what you were pursuing, if you continue to drink it or you continue to be a part of it, it will cause you great harm or eventually death. Well, that's exactly what happened to the people of God in the wilderness. They dropped everything. They ran for their very lives. They began to drink this water. They found out that the water was not what they expected it to be. And even worse than that, they found out that if they continued to drink this water, that it would kill them. The Bible says in Exodus 15:23, "Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of that place was called Marah, which means bitter. The name of that place was vicious. It was hostile. The name of that place was harsh. The water that happened to be clean and pure from looking at it or from observation turned out to be poison when they actually tasted it." Sometimes things that look good are really lethal when you actually taste it. Sometimes when you see things from a distance or you desire something from a distance, when you finally get it, it ends up being toxic or lethal. And the more they drank, the closer they came to death. The jubilation that they had experienced by the sea was now gone. And now they were complaining against Moses. What happened to their faith in these 3 days? The Bible said, when you walk by sight, you are prone to swings or bouts of emotion. The higher we go, the more depressed we get when the elation wears off. But the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight in 2 Corinthians 5:7. You can't always trust what you see. And verse 22 tells us that Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea to this place called Marah. God brought them to this place of bitterness. Their first stop on their way to the promised land was a stop called Marah, which had bitter waters there. Their wilderness journey is much like our life today. In fact, God called the Old Testament Israel in the wilderness the church in the wilderness. Why would God take his people to a place that he knew had bitter waters? I think he took them there because he wanted them to know that life was not a stroll into paradise. He wanted them to know that the powers of the devil are still real. He wanted them to know that there would be trials and tribulations that they had to experience, and they were not ready for the promised land yet. He wanted them to know not only will they run short of water, but they will also run short of food, and they will face ruthless enemies. God wanted them to know that the same God who saved them from the plagues of Egypt is the same God that will provide water in the desert. God wanted them to know that the same God who opened the Red Sea would provide manna or food from heaven. He brought them to this place where they had to depend upon Him. You ever been to a place where everything, all man-made solutions and all man-made answers fell short? God wants you to know that you need someone stronger than Susie or Johnny, or that Harriet can't save you this time. God wants you to know that sometimes everyone in your support group is asleep and Satan was breakdancing in your head. Sometimes when your life is on fire, you need to see a fourth man in the fire. The counselor said to King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, "We only threw three bound men into the fire, but look, I see a fourth man loosed, walking around, and they are not hurt, and the fourth man looks like the Son of God." Sometimes you need someone that's willing to get into the furnace and to the fire with you. Sometimes you need someone who can help you face all of your problems and all of your persecutions. And sometimes God sends us through trials and tribulations to teach us that only God will help you in the fire. He will loose your bands, He will loose the chains, and God will set you free. It's important for us to know where we are in this Christian life. We have not yet reached the promised land. We are still somewhere in the wilderness where God is sanctifying and purifying us. God took the children of Israel to a place of bitterness. What is this place of bitterness? A place of bitterness is a place or a position or location of an event or a thing or something that happened in your life where misery, grief, and heartache exist. It's a place where misery was born into your life. Many times, it's an intersection in your life where someone's contaminated water, by that I mean someone's personality or character, ran over into your life and caused your life to become toxic. The Bible warns us about allowing bitterness in us or around us. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all your bitterness and hot-tempered and anger and loud quarreling and hatred." Hebrews 12:15 says, "Watch out that no bitterness take root among you, for as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives." The Bible warns us to never allow the root of bitterness to grow into your heart. Bitterness only hurts you. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." For the children of Israel, the last thing they expected to taste was bitter water. They expected one thing and they got something else. Expectations can be a very hard teacher. Their expectations and their excitement was replaced with disappointment, discouragement, and distress. But God wants us to know that life is full of maras, it's full of bitter waters, those disappointing and distasteful and bitter times. But what they didn't understand, that the purpose of the Red Sea was to prepare them for some of the bitter things they were to experience in life. What God is saying, God gives us victories so those victories can lead us through the hard times. God wants us to know that the same God who took us through the Red Sea and saved us from Pharaoh's army is the same God that can give us water even at a place called Marah. Don't you realize that most of the New Testament was written from a jail cell? Paul wrote most of his letters, most of the epistles that he wrote was from a jail cell. John Bunyan, who wrote the classic Christian novel, The Pilgrim's Progress, wrote that from a jail cell. The children of Israel complained against God, and they complained against Moses. And they said, "What shall we now drink?" Their disappointment had turned into fear, and their fears had turned into complaining. And so the Bible says in verse 25, "So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast the tree into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them." And that's something that we must always keep in mind. Most of life's trials and tribulations are only a test. And God will give you the strength, and God will give you the power. God will give you the wisdom to pass every test. He told Moses to throw into the water a tree. When the tree hit the waters were made sweet. I don't know what kind of tree Moses threw into the waters, but as soon as the tree hit the waters, a change took place in the composition of the water. The bitterness was removed. The poison was removed. The toxicity was removed. There's only one kind of tree that I know of that can have that kind of power, power to turn bitterness to sweetness, and that's the tree that Jesus hung on, the cross that Jesus hung on. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, and that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And the Bible also tells us in the book of Revelations that when we read about waters in the Bible, many times the waters are people, multitudes, and nations, Revelation 17:15. This passage is telling us that Moses is a type of Jesus Christ interceding, mediating on behalf of God's people who are dying from bitterness, God's people in the world who are dying in grief and in pain and in toxicity, where someone has poisoned your life, where life has turned bitter on you, and you're in pain and you're hurting. God is telling us through this particular passage that life by itself is not sweet, that in order for life to be sweet, the application of God's cross, the application of the blood of Christ must be applied to make it sweet. The Bible says in Romans 5:6, "For when we were still without strength," that means when we were still in this world bitter, "in due time, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly." The Bible also tells us in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners," or while we were still bitter, "Christ died for us." And the children of Israel turned around and asked Moses, "What shall we drink?" And all the way over in the New Testament, God answers that question through Jesus Christ. John 4:10 tells us that Jesus Christ said to the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who say to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, you don't have anything to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Jesus answered and said to her, "And whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Of course, they asked the question, "What shall we drink?" And the answer to that question is drink from the living waters of Jesus Christ. Jesus said at the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7:37, the Bible says, "On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living waters.' But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive." Dear people of God, when we need protection, He is our shield. When we need correction and direction, He's our shepherd. When we suffer from exhaustion and depletion, God is our supplier. When we need affection, He is our serenity. When we face rejection and dejection, God is our sustainer. When we suffer from infections, God is our strength. And when we need preservation, He is our shelter. God is the satisfier of our lives. God not only turned bitter things to better things, but for the first time, He introduced the children of Israel to a new name for Himself. He said in verses 26, He says, "For I am the Lord who heals." This means that He was Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. God said, "All the bitter things that came upon the people of Egypt, I will not allow them to come upon your life if you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God." And God turned the bitterness in the waters to sweetness. And God will do the same in your life. If you allow Jesus to come into your life, if you allow Him the privilege of being a part of your life, God will turn your bitterness into betterness, and God will heal you of all of the things that makes your life bitter. You may ask, how can God heal my bitterness? Well, the first thing you must do is ask God for wisdom to guide you. The Bible says, if any man needs wisdom, go to God and ask, and He will give it to you. The second thing you must do is stop focusing and rehearsing over and over in your mind the unpleasant events. Once Ruth left Moab, she never looked back or talked about what she left behind. When things get tough, you may be tempted to think that life was not all of that bad in Moab. But God called Moab a washpot. It was bad there because God was not in that place. The third thing is you must begin to replace the old with the new. Replace old friends with new friends. Replace old habits with new habits. Replace old places with new places. You must replace old thoughts with new memories. You may even have to replace old family with new God-given family. Change is always uncomfortable and sometimes painful, but life is always changing. Life never stands still. The only question is, are you changing your life or are you only responding to the changes that have already occurred? Number four is make a plan. Set new goals and stick with it. A plan is not worth the paper it's written on if you don't follow it. Number five is trust God. Even when things look bad, when Ruth was tired and hungry and working all day in the fields just to get enough grain for one meal, she trusted God, that God was watching over her. Lastly, forgive the ones or the one who caused bitterness in your life. Bitterness and resentment only hurt the ones carrying it. Forgiveness is about your relationship with God. Forgiveness is not about putting yourself in a place to be hurt again. I am Pastor Isaac Tapper, and I'm coming to you from the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens. Join me next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for Word and Worship, or you can call me at 917-935-5374. May God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you, and may God turn all of your bitterness into better things in life.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministries, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's message, contact us at healingheartsnyc.org. That is healingheartsnyc.org. Join Healing Hearts next week at this same time with Pastor Tapper, and may God's love continue to restore your life.